Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Great to have you in church. We are going to get straight into this. As I said, we are very fortunate to have Vicky here with us tonight. And Vicky's been in a ministry role for around 27 years and has had a significant impact around the globe in various ways. And it was great. We caught up last night and just had a bit of a chat about some of the things that Vicky's been involved in. And it's incredibly extensive and exciting. And we are truly blessed to have her here with us tonight. And I know you're going to love this. And one of the highlights and one of the passions and giftings that Vicky has is operating in the area of the prophetic, which is where she certainly hears from God and is able to speak into situations and circumstances. Sometimes that's personal, sometimes it's corporate for a church or even beyond that. And so that's an incredible gifting that we appreciate and respect and value in the life of our church. So it's great to have Vicky as not just somebody that can operate in the prophetic, but certainly a great communicator. And as I said earlier, did a great job this morning and spoke a great word into the life of our ladies here at Compass this morning. So tonight you're in the right place at the right time. And so I hope you're ready, but could we please put our hands together and give a very warm welcome.
Thanks so much, Phil. Thanks so much for having me. Thanks for the invitation. First time here at Compass. So I'd imagine most of you haven't heard me before. Give me a wave. You don't know me from a bar of soap. Lovely to meet you. Just to give you a quick intro to me personally so you can relate to me, not just as a preacher. I'm a Perth girl originally. I say you can take the girl out of Perth, can't take Perth out of the girl. So proud Perth girl. And I have lived all around Australia at some time or another. I met my husband, let me tell you about him. I'm a late bloomer. I didn't get married till my early 40s. And I met tall, dark and handsome angelic visitation, Damien Simpson. Hence the name. Just so you know, I have Italian blood in these veins. So don't be fooled by the Simpson name. I inherited that. Damien, I married an architect. Now, someone who'd been in travelling ministry, living by faith for many years, I thought, awesome, architect, great earning potential. I'm not going to have another financial care in the world. 5 years ago, he gave it up to do this, introduce you to my husband. Here he is, sexy leg Simpson. So my husband is a long distance runner and he does still do some architect work, he freelances, but this is the main gig. And he's pretty good. He's in the top 1% of the nation. So he came 80th in the Melbourne Marathon on Sunday. That's out of 8,000. That's pretty good. And people say, "Oh, there's money in running." No money in running. You don't do running for Usain Bolt. He's the only one who's made money out of running. You do it for the love. Any runners here today? Yeah, give me. People say to me, "Do you run, Vicky?" I say, "Yeah, I run to the cafe, get a coffee, wait for him at the finish line." That's the extent of my running. Anyway, me too. Actually, I say to people, "Do I look like I run?" I don't think so. So there you go. There's the husband, and we currently live in Sydney, part of C3 Oxford Falls, under pastors Phil and Chris Pringle. Now, how many of you aren't familiar with the prophetic ministry? You haven't actually sat under the ministry of a prophet. Give me a wave. You don't. Yeah. Now, just so you know, some people got these funny ideas about prophets. For a start, I'm not all seeing and all knowing. Okay? Only God is. Number two, I don't see your sin. I'm not looking for sin. I don't care about your sin. I've got enough of my own. I'm not worried about your sin. In actual fact, a true New Testament prophet will see you better than you see yourself. So I will. And it's true. My husband and I, we meet people and he'll say to me, "Gee, that guy's a buffhead." And I'm like, "Really? I thought he's awesome." So he's the one with discernment. Prophets and discernment don't necessarily go together. I can discern atmospheres, but the honest to God truth is you can be the biggest buffhead here tonight and I'll think you're awesome. Because I will see your God-given potential. I will see you how God sees you. Other thing is, prophets are a bit like spiritual Sudafed. We come in and we clear the airwaves. It's not actually about us dispensing information from heaven. We are much more than carriers of a message. We are all carriers of a message. You do not have to be a prophet to be carriers of a message. The way a prophet actually empowers and equips you is by enabling you to hear God more clearly for yourself. So while I'm preaching, and yes, I've got a message, I've got some things on my heart specific here for you here at Compass, but I would fully expect you to get some clarity concerning yourself. Apart from what I say, it's what God does with what I say. And some of you are seeking direction, you're looking for clarity, you're needing some wisdom. I fully expect that to come, not necessarily by what I say, but by what God does with what I say. Do you see what I mean? Some of you, it's like your spiritual ears are going to pop. You're going to hear more clearly, see more clearly, and there you go. Prophet's job done. Rightio, here we go. Now, I've got on my heart to share this tonight in some churches. I'm not sure if it's morning or night. It's night. Tonight, I'm going to share on the parable of the talents. I'm going to jump straight to Matthew 25. Before I do, let's pray. Let's pray right now. Close your eyes. I want you to connect right now to the Lord, right where you're at. Father, I thank you right now. Thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. Lord, I don't know every person here tonight by name, but you do. And I don't know what everyone's going through, but you do. And Lord, I pray right now, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in the life of each person here tonight. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in Compass Church, just as it is in heaven. I declare an open heaven here tonight. I declare open hearts. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to hear the voice of a woman tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. I thank you, Lord, that let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. And I love the way, Lord, that you can write on each person's heart exactly what they need. So, Father God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, have your way and have your say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we go, Matthew 25, verses 14 to 23. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Let's just establish tonight where Jesus is. Some people get very confused as to where Jesus is. Well, Jesus is everywhere, right? Jesus is everywhere. Well, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent, but our Lord Jesus, who died on a cross, was then resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven. He is now like a man traveling to a far country, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is. Oh, I thought he was in my heart. Yes, Jesus is in your heart by his Holy Spirit. But the resurrected Christ, who still bears the marks this day on his hands, on his feet, that's where he is. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, I want you to give me a wave. You profess to be a Christian, follower of Christ. Hello. It's talking about you. This is you. Called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Delivered his goods. So you received a delivery. You received a delivery from Jesus. And you've got the goods. You've got the goods. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, you got the goods. Turn to the other one you ignored the first time and tell him, you got the goods. Someone's here thinking, oh, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I got it. Irrelevant. Doesn't matter how you feel. We're going to have a look at what the Word of God says tonight. Okay, I can't see that I've got the goods. You've got the goods. He's delivered to you the goods. Verse 15 says, "And to one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one." Okay, to one he gave. He gave. Highlight, underline, gave. Your goods depends on the giver. Been given to you. Now that takes a lot of pressure off, because this is not something you can manufacture. This isn't something that you have to conjure up or create. That you actually have been given something. You've been given the goods from Jesus. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one. To each according to his or her own ability. I love this verse. This is actually a very, very powerful verse. To each according to their own ability. You know what this verse does? This verse officially eliminates excuses. Because what it's saying is that the Lord Jesus doesn't expect or require you anything of you that he has actually not equipped you for. Yeah, he doesn't place any demand on you that he has not actually provided for, that he has not given you the ability, the goods to do, to each according to their to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. God's very fair. I find God's fair like that. And so let's have a look for a moment at what your goods might look like. What do your goods look like? There are some goods that we've all got. Romans 1:16 says we all have the good news. We've all got the good news, okay? We've got those goods. We've got something to share. We've got a message to share. And Revelations 12:11 talks about the power of our testimony. So we've got a good news story. We've got the good news. Yeah, we can introduce people to Jesus Christ, connect them back to the Father. Yeah, we can introduce them to eternal life. And what's more, we've all got a good news story. So we've got those two things that are unique to us all. We've got the good news, we've got a good news story. We've got the gospel, and we've got a testimony. We've got the power of the gospel, and we've got a story common to us all. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure. I want to talk about treasure for a moment. When I was praying for your church, I had a vision of a treasure chest. It's like a jewelry box, a treasure chest. And it was half open. And that it was visible. It was clear that that treasure chest was full of jewels and gems, jewelry, precious jewels. But the lid was only half open. And I felt the Lord say he wanted to fully open the lid so that all would be visible. All the treasure that's contained within this church would be visible. What's more, when the lid is entirely open, it's accessible. Not so easy to get. It's clear there's something going on there. Oh, I can see the sparklies. I can see the gems. But I see that the treasure, God wants to release the treasure. The treasure within you personally. The treasure that corporately is currently not as evident and not as accessible. This morning I preached to the women from Matthew chapter 5 about being seen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. I preached a little bit about Moses' veil, how veils are like the dimmer switch. You know, a veil doesn't totally block out the light, it just mutes it. And some of us think it's enough to shine that bright. It's enough. Oh, I'm shining. And I would say to you tonight that many of you are shining and many of you are using the gifts that you've got to a degree, but God is saying that there is more. There's a greater intensity. There's a greater release. The dimmer switch is coming off. The veil is being removed. The treasure that is within you is going to get activated in Jesus' name. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's break this down a little bit. Treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen. I like to say we're just a bunch of mugs. Joyce Meyer says we're crackpots. Earthen vessels. Now this, by the way, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, we all have a treasure, but that treasure is in an earthen vessel. That means we are human. And some of you are waiting for a day when you feel like you got everything together and you feel like you got all your ducks in a row. And, oh, I can do something for God because I've got my finances sorted out. I can start to reach out to others because I finally got my own hurts healed. Let me say this tonight. Please do not wait until you got all your stuff together before you start to activate the goods, because you're going to be waiting a long, long time. Please do not wait until all your hurts are healed. Because no sooner you get your hurts healed, someone comes along, kicks you in the guts, you're hurt again. And you're going to have to start from the beginning. No, earthen vessels. There's a treasure that operates in earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Of God. And that's the point. I say this. It's like any ministry that comes from me. It's a bit like drinking water out of a rubber hose. It's going to taste a bit like me. Yeah, it's drinking coffee out of a styrofoam cup. It's going to taste a bit like the cup. And that's the way it's meant to be, because we are earthen vessels. God isn't using angels to come. It's our job to carry the treasure, to carry the goods. You've got the goods. Not maybe have the goods, possibly have the goods. You've got the goods now. I'm praying right now for a revelation of the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes to see the goods that you've already got. You don't need anything else. I'm hearing the Lord saying you don't need any more to do His work. You really, really don't, to fulfill your call, your destiny, no matter who you are, where you come from, where God has planted you, sown you, in your community. You actually don't need any more. I pray that some of you, it's like God's purpose has already been aborted at the point of not believing that you've got a treasure, that you've got, that you can't see the goods that you've already got. So I'm praying tonight that you'll see. You'll start to see, maybe get an inkling. Some of you think, oh, I already know what I got. Maybe you don't see all that you got. Some have got five, some two, some one. Maybe you think you're a one talent. I say I'm a one talent person. I used to say it's the gift of the gab, but I actually can write as well. So it's probably, you know, the gift of communication. And no matter how that's expressed, a whole lot of different ways. But some people, my senior pastor, he's clever. He's a five-talent guy. My pastor, Phil Pringle, he's what I'd call an all-brainer. He can see big pictures. I mean, he's the head of a movement, 400 churches. His capacity is extraordinary. He can see vision, and I've seen him walking around with a financial statement looking at detail. He's an artist. He actually is a working artist. And yet at the same time, he's incredibly articulate, and he's a leader, and he's extraordinary. So not fair. Five talent guy. But you know what? I'm not responsible for his five talents. I'm responsible for my one. You're responsible for your goods. You got power. The excellence of the power. Mightn't feel like it. Don't feel powerful. Irrelevant. It's not about you feeling the power. It's about whoever you're praying for is feeling the power. It's about whoever you meet, whoever you talk to, whoever you're reaching out to, whoever you open up your heart to, whoever you open up your home to. It's about them feeling the power. It's not about you feeling the power. I don't feel the power. I get up and do ministry every week. I'm not feeling the power. It's about other people feeling the power. The excellence of the power is of God and not of us. Some of you have been through stuff. Some of you feel very broken. You feel very broken right now. Some of you have been through things and you feel eliminated. You feel disqualified. You feel like you don't qualify. But God wants you to know that's not about who you are. It's about who He is. It's not about what you have done. It's about what He has done for you. And that He has given you goods. And it is for the good of others. It's for the good of your community. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 4 to 6, one of my favorite passages in the whole Word of God. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, let's remember who's actually writing this. It's the Apostle Paul. Arguably, one of the most influential people to have ever walked planet Earth. I would argue the greatest missionary who's ever lived. I mean, here he is, one of our apostolic fathers, wrote most of the New Testament. He is making a statement of insufficiency. I'm like, what? I thought that dude was pretty sufficient. I mean, he looks sufficient to me. I mean, what he's accomplished, his faith. I mean, in the face of persecution and, I mean, stoned, imprisoned, maintained his profession of faith. Extraordinary. He changed nations. Nations. And he says this. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. The thing of anything is being from ourselves. So what's the Apostle Paul doing? He actually is starting with a statement of insufficiency. There's someone here tonight and you're saying, I can't. I've got nothing to give. I'm insufficient. I'm inadequate. And I want to say to you, great place to start. Join the club of which the Apostle Paul is president and I am vice president. You actually have to have a revelation of your insufficiency to move in the sufficiency of God. It's compulsory. You actually have to start there, because if you think you're in a bag of chips, you actually can't move in the sufficiency of God. You're going to be moving in your own. And so if you're here tonight and you feel insufficient, you feel inadequate, you think, how can God use me? Great starting place. It's absolutely essential that you have that revelation, but it's not where we stop. We don't stop there. And the Apostle Paul said, he says, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient. Our sufficiency is from God. Okay, let's go back to his original statement here. He says, we have such trust through Christ toward God. We have such trust. What trust? His trust is in the sufficiency that comes from God. Some of you need to flick your trust switch, because you've got more trust in the insufficiency than you have in the sufficiency. It's just a change of focus. It's the same faith, but your faith has been misplaced. Your faith's been misplaced in your insufficiency rather than the sufficiency that comes from God, who made us sufficient as ministers. You are a sufficient minister tonight. Don't feel like it. Let's just broaden our idea of ministry. I know many of you understand this. I know you're in a church that expresses that, that believes this. But I just see God ramping up something. I can just see that it's like there's been a handbrake on. For some of you, you've operated in caution. You've operated and it's like you're driving with just, you know, you're being careful. But I just prophesy tonight that the handbrake is off and God wants people moving forward and powerfully in influence wherever you may be, whether you happen to be in the marketplace, whether you're at this point, you're caring for families, you're at school, you're at university. I don't know who you are, what you do. Those of you in ministry, I believe God wants to release you, activate you to a new level of fruitfulness, of power. It's not because of who you are, but because of who he is, that he has made you sufficient. Each and every one of you here tonight. So, Vicky, you don't know what I've done. I've stuffed up, messed up. That's God is looking for people who recognize their inadequacy. It's the people who don't that have a problem, not the people who do. And I'm sensing humble people. I'm sensing humble hearts. I'm seeing great people in this place, great people. But opening up tonight, I pray God opens up your eyes tonight to see the goods that you've got, to see the treasure that you've got. You are a sufficient minister. And let's read right now. What's in it for you? I'll tell you what's in it for you. Verse 16. He who'd received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He who'd received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. So had 5, made 5, now got 10. Yeah, not a trick question. 10. Had 5, made 5, 10. That's good increase. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. So had 2, made 2, now got 4. Now this is interesting because you think, well, the guy who's got 10 has done a bit greater job than the one who's got 4. Well, this is the reward for those who did something with the goods. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He said the same thing to the person with 2 talents who'd made another 2. He said, Lord, look, you delivered to me 2 talents. I've gained 2 more besides them. Verse 23, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So firstly, there's a reward of increase. You use the goods that you've got, something's going to happen. Use the goods that you've got, don't worry about what you don't have. Just focus on what you do have. Yeah, don't get hung up with, I need this, I need that. You've got the goods. You're a sufficient minister. You've got a sufficiency. You've got all that you need. All that you need to do the will of God, to fulfill God's plan for your life. Just need to start acting like it. Start acting like it. That's what faith does. Faith acts as if the word of God. Some of you this week, I encourage you. I challenge you. Take opportunities to step out, to reach out. You just do it your way. This is it. I want to just free you up right now. Just do it in the spirit of Frank Sinatra. Do it your way. There is no set way, hey, to use the goods. Some of you, we've all got different goods. I'm not going to narrow, I haven't got time tonight to just go break it down into you've all got different goods. And often the goods that you've got, you don't see because you take it for granted because you think everybody else can do that. And the fact is they can't. And they don't. And I pray that you'd start to encourage each other. Start to call. You know there's this trend now, calling out. Oh, gee, it gets up my nose. It really does. if you, sometimes I'm on Twitter far too long, but when you, they start to call out people, they call out, there's this thing of calling them out, got to call them out. And it's always negative. It's always negative calling them out because they've done something wrong, calling a person out. But I'm going to do some calling out right now. I'm going to do some calling out. I'm going to call out the goods that are in you. I'm going to call out the potential that's in you. I'm going to call out the treasure. I call out that which God has put on the inside of you. And I pray that you start to call out good things in other people's lives. Because some people are walking around oblivious to the goods that they've got, but you can see them. Start to tell them. You're an encourager. Gee, you got a great mercy gift. Oh, you got a gift of hospitality. Start to call out. Call out what you see in other people. Start to help them see the goods that they've got. I used to think everybody had a gift of encouragement. That's my number one gift. Before I was ever prophetic, I was an encourager. I received prophecy after I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. But my Romans 12 gift, the thing that God has woven within me, is encouragement. Take everything else away, I will be, always will be, an encourager. But I thought everybody had the ability to go up to a complete stranger and tell them, oh, gee, I love your hair. Where did you get it done? I thought, and I discovered that, no, not everybody is an encourager. Some people have got a gift of mercy. My mum has the ability to weep with those who weep. Don't come to me weeping. I'm likely to smack you on the back and say she'll be right. And it's the thing that comes naturally to you. I pray, I really do. I've never ever said that to a church. It's the first time I ever said to a church and charged you to start calling out the goods, the gifts, what you see in other people's lives. Because the treasure box is going to open. It's going to open wide. I tell you what, Phil, you're really good on the screen. You know, that not everybody is. You're actually a natural. You come across really natural, really effective. You're really effective. And as I was watching it, I was thinking, I just feel like there's more. You know, I feel like there's a platform. I feel like there's a God space that you're going to inhabit that actually involves that kind of thing. You know, God's going to, you know, confirm, lead, whatever, but just know, I actually think you're anointed for that. I actually think you're anointed that speaking to camera, media, there's something God wants to. Some people, it's just another talking head on Instagram. Shut up, really. Like, some people are anointed. And I believe you're anointed. That was great. I was really quite taken and I loved what you did in that moment. So there's the reward of increase. But listen to this. No matter what goods you've got, listen to this reward. For the people who use the goods, this is the reward. Enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. Not enter into the fear and anxiety, the joy. Not enter into the pressure, the joy. Not enter into fruitlessness and failure, no, enter into the joy. There is no greater joy than using the goods that you've got. Stepping out and having a go. Having a go. Some of you need to be stretched. I pray that some of you start to take great steps of faith. What is it that you can do? What is it that you've got? Some of you got to pick up some stuff that you put down. You put down, you let something go. You know that song, let it go, let it go. I'm going to sing, take it back, take it back. Thank you, Lord. Some of you have been weary in times past, weary in well-doing. I see a second wind. You know the second wind, talking of marathons, about the 30K mark. Oh, hit the wall. Some of you are at the 30K mark. And it's like, oh, God, you know, you're putting one foot in front of the other and, man, you don't know if you can keep going sometimes. It's like, oh, you're going out of faithfulness. You're just going because you know there's a race to be run. But then there's this phenomena, this biochemical phenomena called a second wind. And then they run, it feels like they can run. Like they've just started almost. Like it's just whoosh. And I'm just sensing a second wind for many of you. Second wind of service, a second wind. I see the word serving being redefined in this place. So some people come in with an idea of what serving means and it's not entering into the joy of the Lord. But I see serving and joy being melded together in this place. And I see people walking in and they're burnt and they're singed and they're weary. And as they come in, they're going to feel yokes and pressure lifting off them. And I'm just seeing servanthood, serving being reinvented. Some of you have been burnt through serving. Some of you have been weary in serving, and now you're empty. Now you're empty because fulfillment actually comes from using the goods. Using the goods that you've got.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.